This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, everyone. Can you all hear me? Yes, I can hear me. Okay, amazing. It is 4:45, so we are going to get this meeting started. We know we have a busy agenda today, and this is our call to order. Can I please get a count of how many members we have here?
Morgan Baker. Genevieve Bansaw, here. Esther Bentalila, Duncan Katie, here. Pedro De Silvera, Dylan Eisman, Annette Gleiberman, Payne Gronmeyer, here. Deepak Ilongo, John Jiang, Andrew Wand, here. Joanne Kim, Amari Lampert, Claudia Leone, Yananawi Logan, Manaya Lewis, Luna Liu, Joseph Mullen, Nicole Overton, Nikki Reddy, Kate Santa Cruz, Lucas Smith, Michelle Song, Claire Templeman, Prenal Thacker, Valeria Valencia, Henry Wade, Adele Williams, Everest Yon, Analia Nunye.
Here.
There's 22 members present.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The time is now 4:47. I have 22 members present, and I'm officially calling this meeting to order. Okay, I am going to begin with a land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayogano Cayuga Nation. The Gayogano are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayogano dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gayogano people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, now next I'm going to go into late additions to the agenda. Any late additions? Representative Williams. Yes. Perfect. Okay. Anything else? Delilah.
Could we also vote on Resolution 31? It's not on the agenda, but that would be awesome if we could vote on it. Thank you.
Do we have any dissent to that?
Yeah, point of
information. Resolution 31 is the additions to the OSA's bylaws that we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago. Okay, any dissent to that? Perfect. Resolution 31 is now after Resolution 33. Anything else? Okay, next we are gonna move into our consent agenda. We have two sets of meeting minutes to approve. That's September 30th and October 7th. Are there any motions on the table? Close. Second? Consent? Okay. Let's do consent. Okay. Can you voice your amendment?
Oh, you attack that?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is just really minor, but my name is spelled incorrectly on every time it's spelled. It's T-E-M-P-E-L-M-A-N.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have a second? Perfect. Anything else? Representative Katie.
On the minutes from October 7th, on section, that would be, seven, sorry, section, yeah, section 7, line, I'm sorry, section 6, subpoint D, just to clarify, Patrick Mailer became an older person on the City of Ithaca Commons Council, not just a representative, so we can clarify that.
Okay, do we have a second? Perfect. Any motions on the floor? Representative Katie? Any dissent to that? Amazing. Those minutes for September 30th and October 7th are approved. Now I'm going to give you updates on President Pollack's decisions for resolutions 10 to 15. Resolution 10, amendments to election rules for fall 2021 was acknowledged by the president. Resolution number 11, yes, approving the 2021-2022 student assembly budget that has been submitted to the president. We're waiting for a response. Resolution 12, amendments to the convocation committee's appendix B guidelines that has been acknowledged by the president. Resolution number 13, dissolving the research and accountability committee. That has been tabled indefinitely by the assembly. Resolution number 14, amendments to the convocation committee's governing documents that was acknowledged by the president. And resolution number 15, urging Cornell to immediately release financial aid that has been submitted to the president waiting for response. Just as an update for everyone, if you would like to hear for detailed comments to any of these, you can see that at the student assembly website. Perfect. Now that we're through with the consent agenda, I will turn open microphone over to VP Bonta.
Hey everyone. So for open microphone, non-SA members, if you have any announcements or anything to say, just step to the podium to say it for non-SA members. Yeah, what's up?
Just to clarify, any organizations that are appealing byline reports should wait until the previous week's byline reports to
right.
Their appeal. Okay, perfect. Just want to clarify that for our guests.
Thank you. Okay, I'll assume that means no one has anything to say for non-SA members, so I'll pass it back to President Anongye.
Okay, with that, we're moving up presentations and forums. We are going to have a report from Ethan Rubin from the Office of Student Government Relations on their advocacy agenda for 2021-2022. Thank you, Ethan. Oh, wait, just as a clarification, Ethan, can you actually use the mic because we get recorded?
Hello.
Okay, perfect. So for those of you who don't know, the Office of Student Government Relations is a higher education advocacy coalition that is the latter arm of the Student Assembly. So like the Office of the Student Advocate, the OSGR is that other arm. And basically the OSGR is compiled of three levels. The state, the local, state, and federal levels. And what we do is we lobby the higher education concerns of Cornell students and higher education in general to these elected officials. So the advocacy agenda lays forth the groundwork for initiatives for the rest of the year. So the advocacy agenda was created through the research of each member of OSGR on the local, state, and federal member levels. They researched various bills. They spoke with various elected officials to see how we could make the biggest impact, And we also met with the members of Cornell's local, state, and federal relations, as well as peer institutions from New York State, outside of New York State, and within Tompkins County. So to scroll down a bit, you see here my statement. I won't read this all to you. I'll just present it quickly and swiftly, but this will all be on our website shortly if approved. I talk about what OSGR does, again, what we've done in the past and what we aim to do in the future. Here we have the local agenda, and the local agenda essentially talks about town-gown relations, building relations with peer institutions, working with community partners across Tompkins County. And what we like to say in OSGR is that the local, state, and federal levels are kind of this reverse pyramid scheme, and that the most you can get done is likely on the local level, then the state level, then the federal level, because as we all know, it's not so simple to just go to some senator or President Biden and ask for a bill to be passed, right? But if you work with, you know, an elder person or someone within the Ithaca, community, it's a lot easier to get initiatives done, especially because we're their direct constituents, and we can work with other peer institutions to make our voices amplified. So this is similar for the state agenda. We compiled a list of things that we thought were worth advocating for, and a lot of the times this is building upon last year's agenda because no initiative can really be accomplished in 1 year, right? All of this stuff that happened in Congress or in the state assembly or anywhere is an ongoing effort, and it takes time to be able to kind of reach fulfillment. I mean, the CARES Act was an example of something that we were able to help advocate for in the short term, but there's things like DACA recipients and Dreamers that are it's not something that OSGR can accomplish in the span of a year or in the span of 4 years. So all of our work on the federal level then is much more broad in scope because it depends on what initiatives are happening now and doing our best to address them in the moment with whatever's pertinent and relevant. And this is our general assumption of what that'll be. And again, everything on the local, state, and federal levels are meant to address higher education concerns. So they're all revolving around Cornell students and the needs of all students pertaining to higher education. So I'm gonna stop sharing, but I also wanna note that we have some Office of Student Government Relations alum and just current members here. So Lucas Smith was the local level director, and I'm sure we'd be happy to talk about anything else to local level. Adele works on the state team and is a crucial member of the team. Joseph is the federal levels director, so you have a broad scope of members here from local, state, and federal who would be happy to answer any questions. And then additionally, I'm going to put in the chat the current directors of local, state, and federal so that you can email them with anything else. Yeah, thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So do we need to approve that? Ethan, that's a question for you. Do you want us to approve? Okay. So we can actually ask Ethan questions. If you have any questions, or I'll entertain any motions. Representative Williams. Perfect. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Did we have more representatives come in? So we're at 24 now. Okay. Wait, we're at 25. Is there any way you can check? We're at 25, right? What? No, no. Okay, 25. So in a vote of 24-0-1, that passes. Congratulations, Ethan. Just as a reminder to all our SA representatives, the only people who should have laptops out or any technology out are Noah, who's running our Zoom right now, and then as well as anyone giving a presentation, and obviously our clerks do not sustain that. Not offices do not fit. The Office of Assemblies. Representative Williams.
I'd just like to ask the chair for permission to use our technology during the byline reports so that we can see them.
Yeah. Okay, so now we are going to go into announcements and reports. The first one that we have is a byline, byline announcement from Representative Baker. Okay, so we are going to start with ears. Just take those out. Just a quick update to the assembly before I invite them up for their appeal. So the Appropriations Committee revoted on the ears allocation after receiving the appeal letter with new information. So if you look at what's in the box for today, this is the new rationale of the committee for the 140 instead of the 130. As I said last week, like this rationale just reflects what committee members said in the discussions. It doesn't reflect necessarily like what everyone was thinking. And yes, so now I will invite them up to give their appeal.
All right, thank you all, and thank you for hearing our appeal today. We are here seeking our original amount of $1.60, and we recognize the Appropriations Committee decision for the $1.40, but we do have some rationale for why we will need the $1.60 in full. First, to address one of the points that is in that response letter. The response letter recognizes an issue with undergrads being prioritized. I'd like it to be known that on Sunday during ERS' e-board meeting, we did vote by unanimous decision for both training registration and for any professional development events for undergrads to be completely prioritized. So that should not be a concern for any byline funding or for the Appropriations Committee. I'd also like it to be known that just as a general statement in response to the letter, we are working very hard to reappropriate some of the funds that are currently allocated towards marketing and towards our staff in terms of internal events. And we're working to make sure that that funding goes into peer mentorship and training. And we are making efforts to increase our training amount. And we expect our training enrollment to increase for the byline funding years 2022-2024. Part of that reason, while it is initial discussions, we are in discussions in order to make ERS training and for our ERS as itself into a project team structure, which will include course credits. And while that is not official, we would like it to be known that that is a priority of the executive board of ERS. And given that, we expect training enrollment to increase given that incentive, and it will also allow our training, our ERS staff, to provide more training sections. So given that, a lot more funding will be needed for training. We just can't fully commit to it yet until we have the proper decision by the psych department and any other official Cornell University organizations that we work with. I guess I didn't introduce myself too. My name is Ben, Ben Letterman. I am one of the co-presidents of ERS. Beside me, I have Felicia Lee, the other co-president, and Ben Feldman, who is the reimagined task force chair.
I'd like to follow up with that. I want to start by echoing exactly what Ben said of years as Ben said, my name's Ben Feldman, Reimagine Task Force Chair. Continue on that, it's imperative that EARS is fully funded at this moment in time. As Ben was saying, we have ambitious goals for the future of expanding our presence and our work on campus with an undergraduate focus with serving Cornell's student population. Now is such a crucial time for EARS. Number one, because EARS has completely reimagined its services after university mandate, switching from peer counseling to peer mentoring. It's crucial that EARS is able to communicate these changes to the student body and also make sure that students know what services are available, because we can't provide any services if students don't know what's available to them. And that's a major barrier right now, is making sure that we have that kind of visibility and presence on campus. We're expanding our work into three locations, up from what was formerly only one location in Willard Strait in our old peer counseling model. Now is a crucial time, as students need as much mental health and well-being support as possible during these unprecedented times, as it were. Given EARS status or given EARS new position, having just reimagined our services and with transitions internally as an executive board restructuring during the pandemic, EARS needs to be fully funded now more than ever. And we're looking for that support from the student assembly to expand those services.
I guess just as a final note before we're happy to answer any questions that you all have, I'll just say that this EARS is the only organization that is offering this peer-to-peer type of service. We're a unique organization, and given the changes that are happening that we've been working through just since the summer and all that is there for the future, we're really asking you, if you really believe in mental health, show it now with this vote. So we can really see, and that we can have a fully funded mental health organization going into this next byline year, and we can discuss the future as it arises. Thank you.
Representative Katie.
It is my understanding, in accordance with the charter and bylaws, that the appeals letter EARS submitted was to come to the full assembly, not simply to the appropriations committee. I'm wondering why that isn't in the box, or if there's access that these student voting members, as we are the body that will hear the appeal, not the appropriations committee, is.
I am not 100% sure, and Carson's not here to cross-check for me. I can cross-check real quick. If not, is there a way, Morgan, that we could put it in the box? Can we put it in the box? Perfect, thank you.
Separately, can I also make a comment to EARS as well?
Next person, the second speaker list. Representative Mullen.
Yeah, so I would just like to second everything you said. And I think it's, honestly, it's a little bit frustrating, because I think everybody on here, the first thing we post when we're running for the student assembly is that we care about mental health. And then to come to you guys and decrease your funding, it's a little bit unfair, and I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think you deserve the full funding that you've requested. I think EARS is like one of the most necessary services we have, and it seems, again, very strange that this would be a promise made, reiterated very frequently during campaigning, and then when we're actually up here, we would do this to EARS. So I would just hope that we, as an assembly, can approve your full funding, can approve your appeal, and thank you for coming and speaking.
Okay, we got a lot of hands and a lot on our agenda today, so I'm gonna do 30 second speaking times. Yeah. Thank you. 30 second speaking times, and then we will give you guys 45 seconds to respond. So if you have a question or a comment from anyone at any point after someone on the assembly has spoken, you can. I will go Representative Templeman.
Yeah, so thank you for coming in today to update us. I'm not totally sure what the process is, but I was wondering if like potentially you could, if you have like a new budget to show to the Appropriations Committee, if that could be possible, or if you need any more time for that. Because you did mention that you were thinking of like changing up your funding structure. Or your budgeting.
Yeah, so thank you for the question. We are fully considering that reappropriation. However, while we're still waiting on responses from university services about courses and then making an expanded training service, we're not able to provide necessarily a reallocation at this moment. We will do it as soon as we hear the official response.
Do you have like a time in mind? Okay. Or?
Sorry, that's a second question. Representative Wade.
Yeah, I guess what Representative Templeman was getting at is when the Appropriations Committee received this letter, it came with a lot of promises, but not a lot of action when it came to how do you actually plan to increase your support for these peer mentoring service? Because the reason that the Appropriations Committee originally didn't see that you should receive your original allocation is that you were spending money on things like Purell hand sanitizer at disproportionate amounts, not because of your peer mentoring service.
So with regards to some specific items, we do have some of our hands tied in terms of where we are supposed to spend our money. There are university sources that we are supposed to buy from that are limited in amount. But in terms of the comment about promises, it's difficult for us because we are, Felicia and I work with the Scoring Center for Health Initiatives, which is an organization on campus, and it's an official source. So we are constantly in collaboration with other students as well as the official organization. And we're trying to balance it out. And we're not going to make false promises to you on the budget until we hear full official approval on items. So we weren't gonna submit that in the official report, even though it might not be exactly what was hoped for by the committee.
Representative Smith.
So I was just going to ask if you would be amenable to sharing your byline application with the entire assembly, since we have the fiduciary responsibility now to review this. And people that aren't on the Appropriations Committee can't see that original budget and stuff, so it certainly would be helpful, I think, if you're willing to waive the, I guess, just sharing it with Appropriations. It would stay so if they're just the rest of the assembly has access to it, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, that's something we totally be okay with. And I just want to add for full transparency, after we had submitted our initial budget application, we didn't receive any feedback. Other was just that, you know, the committee was very impressed by it. And so we came into the byline hearing thinking like, you know, it seemed like our application was good to go. And then during the hearing, we started getting all these questions and we thought, oh, perhaps, you know, some items we did need to reconsider. But then after we had gotten the response of being allocated only 130 per student, the only thing that was asked next of us was to just submit a short written response, not necessarily a completely revised budget. And so that's all we have prepared for now. But in our detailed response, we did include, you know, plans for, you know, how we want to increase our outreach through more pamphlets.
Okay. That's time. Thank you so much.
Chair, could that the byline report be shared with the Appropriations? Sound like they agreed to that. So could you arrange for that?
Yeah, I just want to ask a clarifying question. So just so that we have it on record, you guys are comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Morgan, perfect. Thank you so much. For everyone here, make sure when you're asking questions, stuff along those lines, especially since we have an audience and this is recorded, we're not asking specific questions and details about the budget. This is more so that you guys get a more holistic interpretation of this as we're having this conversation. Representative Williams.
Hi, I'd like to just thank you guys for coming out again. This seems really disappointing to me that lowering the allocation was supposed to somehow encourage you to restructure better, but you probably tend to need money in order to properly restructure. And I appreciate that you're spending the time to talk to all your stakeholders in order to make a more comprehensive plan. And I know that that cannot easily come up in the week that you had to appeal. So I really appreciate you guys coming out today.
That's time. Thank you. Do you have a response to that? You don't have to respond to everything. Perfect. Representative Overton.
Hello, I just want to say thank you for allowing us for the newsletter. And this is just, I just want to encourage all of my colleagues, if you have not yet, please look at the appeal letter, because I think that it explains the need for defunding well. I personally think it's a sufficient explanation as to why they need 160. And especially for those of you who have concerns about the way they'd be spending the additional funding, I would love for you to take a look at this. And again, thank you for coming out.
Can you respond? Perfect. Representative Templeman. Oh, is that second speaker's list? You already spoke, right? Okay, perfect. Representative Song.
Hello? Hi. So thank you again, once again, for coming out. I want to echo the previous sentiments. I think now that we have access to the appeal letter, a lot of the issues previously addressed are now sufficiently responded to. I want to further by saying I completely support the mission of EARS, and I believe that supporting our peers as well as their mental health should be an utmost priority for our community. I also understand many of my fellow elected representatives ran platforms on prioritizing student mental health, and I would really appreciate if you put your sentiment into your voice. Thank you.
So over the past few days, I've been given the opportunity to work with EARS specifically along the lines of this appeal. I'd first like to make sure every member reads through this letter, as all of the concerns of the Appropriations Committee are addressed there directly. I wrote out a longer statement that I'm not going to share right now, and given my short amount of time, I'd just like to remind everyone, though, that we will only know when it's far too late how much an extra 20 cents will go to support students in a moment of crisis. Only then will we know how we can help students that are hurting, and we will only then know how much 20 cents can go to save a student's life. I hope you consider supporting EARS fully funded at 160. Thank you.
Representative Leon.
Yeah, first, I just wanted to say thank you guys for coming and, like, presenting. And yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk a little bit more about like the state of mental health on this campus. Like I have a lot of friends who have been recently turned away from their CAPS counselors because they are over capacity and can no longer be seen. I think to then take money from the only org dedicated to peer-to-peer support regarding mental health is just one of the worst decisions we could make as an assembly. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a reminder to everyone, the speakers are catching up on like some side talks, so make sure that you're focusing on the conversation that we're having here. Anything else? I would highly entertain a motion on the floor. Representative Juan.
So I just want to thank you guys so much for coming in, and I read the appeals letter, and like Representative Song, Representative Katie have talked about, it definitely addresses a lot of the previous concerns that were expressed by the Appropriations Committee, and I just wanted to echo as well support for continuing to fund our mental health and you know, just so that I think probably what your last name was, you know, those problems that our mental health groups are facing is definitely not, you know, good. And as a part of the Student Health Advisory Committee, you know,
that's really time. Thank that. You. So, do you have a response? Perfect. Representative. Dan, say it.
I think the discussion has been very thorough. Would I be able to motion to vote?
Perfect. Do I have a second? Do you have any dissent to that? Representative Katie?
To clarify, what are you asking to motion to vote? To which specific amount?
I think not one.
Specifically, what would you like to vote on?
So could I motion to appeal?
Second.
Second. Okay. Do we have a dissent to that? I actually don't know. Does anyone know exactly where that is in bylaw? Yeah, I think you should abstain. Okay.
So right now we're looking for 2/3 vote to see whether or not we're appealing. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Is that, Logan, is that raised? Yes. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Is that raised? Okay, can I have all those opposed? Please raise your placards. Can I have all those abstaining? Please raise your placards. Okay, we are missing a vote. Did anyone not vote? She abstained. Oh, wait. Can all those abstaining raise your placards? Okay, perfect. Okay, in a vote of 20-2-3, we have overridden the Appropriations Committee. So now we can vote by numbers. Representative Katie?
I would like to preface this by saying, I think if you have not read the letter, you should understand the reasoning specifically that EARS is asking for the number they've asked for. I understand there is a large amount of concern and conversation about spending and just simply not wanting to overfund an organization, in which I would like to remind all of the members present who are voting, there's plenty of other organizations, there are plenty of other dollars that we're determining. So with that in mind, I would like to motion to allocate EARS 160.
Okay, perfect. Do we have any dissent to that? I don't think we can. We're just voting. Okay, perfect. And then I also want to recognize that we have Representative Lewis there, who just came on to the Zoom call. So I would like to also record her vote. So can you hear me, Representative Lewis? I feel like maybe not. Noah, can you put a message in the chat? So my thought is to record that vote is just to do a Zoom vote. So if on the vote, you can write yes, no, or send a message. Okay, so on the allocation of 160, is it 160? Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards? Okay, and can everyone like actually put their elbow up? Perfect. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining raise your placards? Can we like raise our hands? And a vote of 17-3-5, that passes. Congratulations, EARS. I want to amend that vote. It's actually 18-3-5. We got it. Representative Lewis's vote. So it's 18-3-5. Okay. Next report, we're back to Representative Baker.
Thank you all.
Okay, I will do NDFC.
This was also presented last week, and so they have a $10,000 rollover. The thought is to spend that down. And since they're requesting an increase of about 1,000 per year, that means 2,000 from the 10,000 rollover can be spent over the 2 years. And then that would leave them with an extra $8,000, they are not appealing. And we would wish for them to also spend down that $8,000 by distributing it evenly amongst their sub-organizations.
Okay, I'll open to question and comment. And any motions on the floor? Representative Mullen? No, we're better. Do you retract the table? Okay, motion to vote from Representative Mullen. Do we have a second? Second, do we have any dissent to that? Perfect, can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards with your elbows off the table. All those opposed, please raise your placards. All those abstaining. Okay, perfect. In a vote of 24-0-2, that passes. Congratulations, I guess. Yes.
So the next one's Willard Street Hall Student Union Board. This is from this week, so just a presentation, no vote. They merged with Welcome Weekend. Willard Street Hall received 50 cents. Originally, Welcome Weekend received 240. Combine the merge, that's 290, but they're requesting an extra 40 cents. So they only fund their programming. So the programming of their events, their co-sponsorships, and their collaboration, that's where all of the funding goes to. So the committee really appreciated that. If any cuts at all would be cut from their co-sponsorship events, which since these are all in Willard Street Hall or in the surrounding areas, the committee felt like the co-sponsorships are also vital to the continuation of the Willard Street Hall Student Union Board's mission. They have a plan for their spending down of their $28,000 rollover. And because they'll be technically operating off of their 330 plus a $28,000 rollover for the next 2 years, they said they'll likely request an additional $2 during the next byline cycle. So just something to keep in mind. And the 40 cents, that is also going to help the continuation of having Club Fest outside. There were many more clubs that were able to participate in the outdoor Club Fest, and they reported that they preferred it. And also many more students were also able to attend. So that's why they would like to continue it outdoors. I'll open it up now.
Any questions or comments? I'd like a motion to table. Motion table, do second. Motion table unanimously. Perfect. Okay, we can move on to the next report.
So there's no more else. There's no others in the box. So let me. Okay. But let me explain. Okay, so yesterday we also did Cornell Minds Matter, but they didn't have a presentation. So we have to hold off on that until they can get the information to us. So that's why there's nothing for Cornell Minds Matter in the box, but they still already had their byline hearing technically. We just didn't really learn anything from it. So I wasn't here on Monday's meeting where they also considered Interfaith Council, the International Students Union, and Student Activity Funding Commission. So Annie chaired that meeting, so I cannot say anything about what was discussed there. So I will pass it on now.
Hi, so I guess I'll quickly start. We'll start with SAFC. This is just kind of a quick report that kind of ties into some of the other two. So this SAFC has been undergoing a major reform. We saw the first phase of that this fall when we approved the new guidelines. Everyone saw there was a lot more flexibility on what clubs could spend their money on. It was taken from, I believe, like 24 pages to 7. And there's been a lot of work that they've been doing to streamline the process and make sure all clubs can get their money. The second phase of that is kind of two things. The first is reimagining the tier or the cap system to make it more equitable to all clubs. Because right now you can be a new club that has a huge amount of members in it, but if you don't like spend all of your money, you can't really move up. And then you can have very small clubs who are basically encouraged to spend their money to like move up in tiers and get more. So they're currently putting together a committee of key stakeholders, club leaders from all different areas. And in addition to that, they're trying to work with other Byline organizations to help them transition to be able to fully fund the clubs under them. This was really an effort to make sure that clubs are being funded by people who can best understand their needs. So for example, with the creation of club sports councils, club sports groups are really, they have usually kind of a lot of specifics. Sometimes they don't know if they need money until they make a championship. So with the creation of that, they've been working with, they've been in talks with Interfaith, PFC, Club Sports Council, Alana, and ISU. The advisors of the suggestion SAFC, who have been in contact and can tell us, yes, these clubs are ready. No, we still need to work with these clubs to see what their funding kind of boards would look like. It was recommended that Interfaith Council, PFC, and Club Sports Council transition to kind of full umbrella status for the next byline cycle. So that is why originally, although they requested the $137.91, they kind of modified it during their presentation to only be asking for $114.66. And the rest will be allocated to other byline organizations who can then fund the clubs under them. They said that they've been in talks with Interfaith Council right now, kind of looking at the clubs under them and what they've spent in kind of the past 4 or 5 years to kind of see how much money they would need. And they still haven't kind of found the final number yet, but that they would definitely have it before November 15th, hopefully next week or two. So that is why the committee held off on voting on Interfaith. If anyone has any questions about this, it is a very large project and kind of a lot of things need to kind of happen in tandem with each other. But overall, the committee was commended kind of the work that they're doing to reimagine funding for all clubs and make sure clubs can get the funding they need from people who can best understand what they need as a club.
Okay, I'll open it to question and comment. Representative Williams. Any dissent to the table? Perfect. Was that by unanimous consent, I'm guessing? Perfect. Next, we can go on to the next one.
That's all we have for this week.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, okay, yes. We have an announcement from Representative Baker.
Forgot to say this at the beginning. So on Monday at from 5:15 to 8:30 p.m., the Appropriations Committee will be meeting in 145 McGraw Hall and hearing from the Convocation Committee, the GJAC, and EMS.
Perfect, thank you. Okay, now I will open it up to any other announcements that we have today. I have a quick one. So I know that you all got in the Slack that we have questions for President Pollack, who will be coming to visit us in November. It is your job to give us questions so that when she comes, she can speak and address the student assembly with any issues or concerns that we have currently. So make sure that you're reaching out to constituents, getting ideas, stuff along those lines so that we make sure that it's a great and filling meeting. Any other questions? Any other announcements? Representative Santa Cruz?
Hello. Yes, so Duncan and I are actually going to be working on a resolution to review and modify subtitles and recorded lectures to accurately represent the information in these lectures. So if anyone is interested in helping or has any ideas, we want to be very meticulous with this particular resolution and making sure that we're not leaving any pieces out. So tomorrow, I believe we're meeting with SDS, a few people there. At 1:30 p.m. So if anyone is interested in this resolution, helping or giving any input, that would be very, we would very much appreciate that.
Thank you. Representative Santa Cruz reminded me to let you all know that now that we have our new representatives to the SA, we are going to be starting sprint meetings soon. If you haven't been around for sprint meetings in the past, it's basically an opportunity to collaborate on resolutions, check in on what SA representatives are working on, stuff along those lines. We think they're really important. So tune in for a Slack message from me so we can figure out a good time. Those will be weekly meetings. Representative Bonta had something.
Yes, hey everyone. So I'm planning the next social, and as the weather gets cold, I just wanted to, the e-board at least decided to do something a little bit more low key instead of like going off campus, because that can be like sometimes hard to plan. And so the next event is like a chill, casual game night get together type of thing. And so if you have any recommendations in terms of location, please let me know. Or if you'd like to give up a location that belongs to you, also please let me know. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Amazing. Now we can move into initiatives. Perfect. No initiatives. Any business of the day? Okay. And then now we are going to move into new business. We have resolution number 32, calling on Cornell University to appropriately recognize and honor Veterans Day. The sponsors and co-sponsors of this resolution can now take the floor.
Hey everyone, so this resolution is part of a larger collection of resolutions, one of which has already passed the GPSA, which is the Graduate and Professional Student Association for those who aren't aware. It has been brought forward by Representative Fite to the University Assembly, and the goal is to pass it in every assembly. For the new members, if you remember, there was discussion about this process, but essentially we're just trying to get it through every single one, and we can explain later if you have any questions. But I'd like to turn the mic over to some of our other co-sponsors, specifically Roland, who also helped write this resolution and see it be brought to every single assembly.
Hey everyone, I'm Roland Molina. I'm the president of the Cornell Undergraduate Veterans Association. If you look on line 40, Cornell University is currently home to over 400 veterans among its staff, faculty, and students, 93 of which are undergraduate veterans that I represent, and 136 are graduate and professional students. Without official university recognition, members of Cornell's university veteran community are annually forced to spend their vacation, class time, and personal time off to attend or participate in Veterans Day events. We, the co-sponsors, believe that the sacrifices of these veterans and their families should be honored by the university, and they should be afforded the time and opportunity to celebrate a day that honors them. Additionally, it would give those that may not have any military affiliation, such as some in this room, a day of rest that was made possible by those who served our nation. Thus, I ask you, representatives, to join your fellow student leaders, faculty, and staff in support of this resolution.
So really quickly, so as I'm sure, I'm just gonna refresh for the new members. We would like to bypass the president's signature on this and move it to the Board of Trustees. And the only way that that's possible is if all of the constituent assemblies, including the University Assembly, which is comprised of all constituencies, passes the exact same resolution. So that there's been some conflict between the resolutions, but I think that that Duncan and Roland have worked it out. We'll find out in a second. They're all set, okay.
For clarity, we have to pass it with the exact same wording in every legislation. So if you look to line 5, I'd like to make an amendment where it says veteran staff to instead say university affiliates. This is a mistake just in the presentation section of it, but simply it should say university affiliates instead of veteran staff on line 5.
Sorry.
At this time, no.
Sorry, was that a second on the floor? Okay, perfect. Do we have any other?
At this time, this is the only amendment.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make a line of clarification. So when, just a point of clarification. So when Roland was speaking directly from the resolution, I think that that was a different line for us than it might have been on yours. So I just want to make sure that that's right before we pass this.
Correct.
It's the correct one. Okay, perfect. Representative Smith. Oh, and also I just wanted to say thank you for bringing this resolution to the floor and for the work that you're doing. Representative Smith.
Yeah, no, I definitely thank you for bringing this resolution to the floor. I guess my question is about the process here. I guess I get, you know, wanting to go right to the Board of Trustees, right? But the calendar stuff tends to be tricky in that the Faculty Senate controls the academic calendar side of things, right? And then the staff side, of course, is maybe more directly the university. So I'm looking at this and, you know, I agree with the resolution. I'm not going to vote against it, but I feel like we're more likely to see the employee side of things come through and employees get a day off. But just with the process for setting the academic calendar being, you know, 5 years out, and I don't know where we're at in terms of that cycle right now, but yeah, it's kind of, they're separate instances almost for each university unit, I guess you could say. Is that a correct understanding? And how does that factor into the intention here?
Absolutely. So first of all, I thank you for bringing that up because that has been a large point of contention on the university assembly. The graduate and professional student assembly passed the resolution as you all have it now with that last amendment that was just made. The university assembly brought up a lot of the same points that you're bringing up regarding calendar issues. And if you look towards the New York state legislation, there will be an increase in the number of days mandated by accredited universities in the state of New York. New York has one of the highest number of days required per semester, and I believe it's currently around 75, if I remember, but it is set to increase. And so there is very little leeway there. So moving forward, we have to decide whether or not we want to treat this in a similar way as, say, a religious holiday, or we want where, you know, certain folks would be exempt from class and work, or we want to treat it in that everybody, like other national holidays are given the day off. So four of us have really, we really believe that it's important that we treat this holiday like every other national holiday and give the entire day off. You know, if you were to only give vets the day off, you would still have classes, you would still have work, and you would force veteran students and members of the veteran community here on campus to make up that work, to miss lecture. And so it's just important to be equitable in that everybody gets the day off. And as Roland mentioned, there are other reasons for that. But we would also be interested in proposing an amendment that would allow us to potentially move days off. So for instance, if we look at the fall semester, the fall break is an extra 2 days off. If we want to take one of those days and move it to this holiday, so we get, you know, we spread out our days off. You know, I personally am in favor of that. I think that it's better for everyone's mental health as well. I would be interested, as I'm sure the rest of us would be. But I would like to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Okay, we're on the second speaker's list if no one else has anything up. Representative Mullen. Do we have a second? Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Can I have all those opposed, please raise your placards? Can I have all those abstaining, please raise your placards? Okay, and a vote of 24-0-1, that passes. Congratulations. Point of clarification, we're at 25 voting members now. Is that correct? Okay, so we're at 25. Perfect. Representative Eisen. Thank you. Okay, that puts us at 24 members. Okay, and then our last resolution on the floor is resolution number 33, confronting Cornell's legacy in American imperialism in the Philippines.
Does this work? Yeah. Okay, before I get started, I'm gonna project a presentation, but before I get started, I did just wanna thank the members of the Cornell Filipino Association for being here. They helped write the resolution and it's really their resolution, so I appreciate them being here. Okay, so if you see up on the screen, that's the presentation. So resolution 33 is confronting Cornell's legacy in American imperialism in the Philippines. And it's directly addressing the forgotten past of Cornell's third president, Jacob Gold Sherman. Former Cornell president, Jacob Gold Sherman, he was the chairman of the Sherman Commission. He was appointed by President William McKinley while he was still president of Cornell University in 1899 to decide the structure of American imperial rule in the Philippines after the brutal American conquest. A lot of people aren't aware that America was conducting imperialism in the Philippines, but our third president played a direct role in the structure of that imperialism. A direct quote from him is, "The United States cannot withdraw. We are there and duty binds us to remain. The Filipinos are wholly unprepared for independence, there being no Philippine nation, but only a collection of different peoples." He was directly inspired by Rudyard Kipling's White Man's Burden, and he wrote that he would have Filipinos be taught to govern themselves as Americans or Englishmen govern themselves. So a patronizing imperialist. And he had further quotes just taken from his writings on the Philippines in which he called Muslim Filipinos heathens and declared that America must first eliminate the Mohammedans, so directly calling for genocide against Muslim Filipinos. He viewed all Filipinos as inferior, writing that even educated Filipinos do not possess our conception of civil liberty or of official responsibility. The outcomes that this has had for the Philippines cannot be stated with simple statistics. While we can list that 20,000 Filipinos were directly killed in this American War of Conquest and 200,000 died of famine and disease, the long-term effects still linger today with America still being an imperial force in the Philippines. After the war ended in 1902, the Philippines was ruled directly as a colony with its resources and its people exploited for America's benefit. And US imperialism and tutelage have remained today. Some great examples of that are through military occupation in the Philippines, which has remained. America still controls military bases in the Philippines and it continues to subject the people of the Philippines, even though independence was officially granted in 1948. The current state of the Philippines today, it remains under the thumb of the United States. The US donated 6 million COVID-19 vaccines, but it did this to pressure President Rodrigo Duterte to extend the VFA, which is an agreement that allows America to have military control over the Philippines. President Duterte said, "We did a give and take. We thanked them and I made a concession." This was after he had repeatedly promised to end American military control in the Philippines. He nevertheless did it out of necessity to receive COVID vaccine, so under extreme duress. And we have to ask the question of why the Philippines feel today pressured to extend United States imperialism and imperialist legislation to get COVID-19 vaccines, which everyone needs. As it pertains to Cornell, none of Cornell's biographical information on Sherman on official websites makes any reference to his viewpoint and comments on Filipinos. There is no reference or explanation of Sherman's role in Filipino colonization, calls for genocide, and the war on the Philippines on the premises of Sherman Hall, which we have on campus. Cornell has never officially apologized for Sherman's role in the imperialist conquest of the Philippines by America. And the fact that many of us literally do not know this at all. Many people on campus have no idea that Sherman did this. It's like accessible on his biographical information. If you look him up on Wikipedia, you can find it. Shows that Cornell is deliberately downplaying this role of its history and of its third president in order to not, you know, have that come to light. Sherman's impact has not only affected Filipinos at the time of his imperial rule, his words and actions are currently harming and killing countless lives of Muslim, indigenous, Filipino, and Filipino-American communities. So his effect lingers today. His structure for imperialism in the Philippines remains what's dominating the Philippines today, what causes a lot of problems for Filipinos and Filipino-Americans. So we have to ask the question of what it means to enroll thousands of students who belong to marginalized communities at this university that has ignored its oppressive histories. And this is just a general theme of what we've been addressing this semester on the Student Assembly, from Cornell's imperialism and oppression of Native American and indigenous communities here in the US. And this extends to the global impact that it has upon Filipino Americans. And we have to ask how Cornell can do this while it's upholding and celebrating an individual by naming a building after him who caused direct terror on indigenous and Muslim communities in the Philippines. And what does inclusion mean to Cornell if we're going to continue celebrating this man? So the demands of the resolution are laid out here. First, it's calling to formally apologize, for Cornell to apologize and issue a statement on President Sherman's role in American imperialism in the Philippines, to establish corrective measures by dedicating a memorial in Sherman Hall. Some people, when you walk into Willard Street Hall, there's a plaque on the building. It commemorates the 1969 takeover of Willard Street Hall. It's a very similar kind of measure of having some memorialization of it so that people entering Sherman Hall can be educated when they can read that while entering into the building. There's a demand to rename Sherman Hall. I think that's very self-explanatory that we shouldn't continue naming a building after someone who's made such derogatory comments. And the fact that we're right now in the process of renaming Goldwin Smith Hall is evidence that we can rename these buildings, and we definitely should once we've learned the history of the individuals they're named after. And just more long-lasting demands of expanding all ethnic studies programs by increasing the efforts, funding, and allowing them, all majors, to make these histories available for all students, making anti-imperialism a dedicated part of all of these programs of study, addressing the history of military exploitation and the continued military involvement of Filipino people and students in the US and abroad, and then asking for Cornell to condemn modern US imperialism in the Philippines, such as by condemning the Visiting Forces Agreement. And that is the resolution.
Thank you. This is a reminder to essay members, during presentations, you should not be talking. You should not be texting. You should not be on laptops. You're here and you're listening to representatives who are coming to speak to us. If you have technology out, please put it away. I tell you this every meeting and it's getting annoying. Okay, now I will take questions and comments. Representative Overton.
Thank you for your presentation, Representative Mullen. I was like following on. I just had a quick question at the last slide. I know that you said that one of the demands on the resolution was put a plaque in Sherman, the hall, but then you also said you want to rename it. If you were to rename it, would you still put the plaque there, or would you only put the plaque there if it remains unnamed? I'm just like, because like otherwise, like if it's renamed, like where would you put the plaque, or like would you still put it in there? Sorry.
That's a great question. So as I think is evident by the length of time which it's taking to rename Goldwin Smith Hall, I don't think any of us expect that
you know, Sherman Hall will be renamed tomorrow. So I think the demand is to have that plaque or have any sort of memorialization installed while this process is being undertaken to find a more suitable name for this building or just not have a name Sherman Hall. I would think that it can remain just to be a memorialization of what this hall used to be named and who it used to represent. But that's a great question. I think a lot of these demands are just to give Cornell options of how they should go about the history of this individual and this hall. So I think both, but definitely long-term, the more important demand is to rename Sherman Hall.
Representative
Juan. Thank you, Representative Mullen and the Cornell Filipino Association for bringing this up and sharing this important history lesson with us. And I'm in like full support of this, and I just wanted to share with other people, you know, if I think one of the things that I was thinking about at first is, you know, the renaming process and how difficult that might be. But I also want to return people to, you know, other peer institutions who have been addressing leaders like that they have buildings named after, that such as the Princeton Woodrow Wilson School of Public Policy that they had recently changed to remove his name, and strongly encourage people to, you know, recognize that we can make these changes and redress these like issues and horrible situations that have been created by Sherman.
Representative Wade.
I don't know. While I'm very much in support of this legislation, I just am kind of remiss to where kind of like in a situation like the last resolution where Representative Katie gave the veterans the opportunities to speak and give their presentations. And yet here you are again, Joseph, refusing to give minority students the chance to present in front of the student union. This kind of goes back to the whole Haiti debacle situation and you lying about having Haitian students report, but my question for you is, why do you refuse to give students of color the chance to actually advocate? Why do they have to go through, why don't they get to address the student assembly?
Do you guys want to answer that? Or, yeah, so I mean, I did ask before, and the Cornell Filipino Association members said that it's fine for me to present and for me.
So I guess my question is why wasn't your first assumption to say, how about, you know, kind of this is your issue and to kind of give them the forefront of the situation? Because I see this a lot with you, you know, you're always posting on social media about the next SJW thing and you're a lot of these times taking voices away from these minority individuals. So my question still is, why wasn't the first opportunity for you to just give them this?
Before you answer, I see members have their hands raised. You're welcome to come to the table if you'd like.
I don't really understand this criticism considering that allies play a very important part in advocacy. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he did just lie about having student support, so. Student support about what? I don't understand how this is relevant to the discussion about Cornell's legacy on imperialism in the Philippines. I don't understand why this criticism is being brought up to try to dismantle like the role of allyship in this process. So if you could clarify that, that'd be great. Yeah, of course. I just find it quite ironic how we talk about this particular figure being so detrimental towards identities when we are still refusing to acknowledge the identity formation that Joseph himself is assuming by speaking on behalf of the Filipino student. I still don't really understand how this is relevant to Cornell being responsible for the death of over 200,000 Filipinos that were a result of American imperialism in the Philippines. I feel like this is more of a personal matter and isn't necessary to bring up. I think it's very necessary to bring up when it comes to the credibility. Thank you, President Anali.
Okay, we're gonna move to the next person. I said that with multiple questions. Okay, Representative Overton.
I would technically be a second speaker, so someone else would like to go first.
Do we have
first.
Anyone else on the first speakers list? Okay, yes, of course.
Yes.
And you're allowed just for clarification, you're allowed to sit at the table if you'd like to.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. just for clarification, Joseph is representing CFA on our behalf since he brought. You're good. Should I continue?
Yes.
Okay. So just for clarification, CFA, Joseph is like
presenting for CFA since our cultural chair, Alessandra, was not available due to conflicting schedules. So it's no problem for us at all. There's no issue to be all right.
Yeah.
Representative Gleiberman. Second. Okay. Do we have any dissent to that? Perfect. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Okay. Can I have all those opposed? Oh, okay. Perfect. Can I have all those opposed? Raise your placards. And then can I have all those abstaining? Raise your placards. Perfect. Okay. And a vote of 22-0-2, that resolution passes. Congratulations, Representative Mullen. Okay. So the last thing that I have for you all is a quick announcement. So Representative Baker has resigned from the role of Vice President of Finance. The runner-up for that position in our previous election was Representative Valencia, who will now be our Vice President of Finance. Congratulations. Representative Yuan.
A point of order, I was examining the bylaws earlier, and it doesn't seem that there's any capacity for just written text at all for a special election after representation, after resignation, I mean. So do you know which section of the bylaw permits this to be automatic transfer?
That's how we've traditionally done it, is the runner-up in our elections take the position. We basically had a conversation between the outgoing Vice President of Finance, who said that that was fine, and I also reached out to the new Vice President of Finance. Representative Gleiberman. Yes, we are asked to speak in the microphone.
I want to echo Representative Yan's sentiments and just the hesitation about not having an internal election to select a new Vice President of Finance. Yeah.
Thank you. So we do not have our, sorry, I'm like wondering what is, thank you. We do not currently have our parliamentarian here, so I would actually, can we wait while I look at where that is in the governing document?
I can tell you exactly what part of the charter it mentions, like doesn't mention where it goes. It is, I apologize for having my phone out. Bylaws, Article 2, Section 2.
Representative Smith, you can go while we're like looking these up.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious what this means for the byline process, since I guess it's unprecedented, you could say. So yeah, what does that leave us at with the byline process?
Yep. So I can just tell you, I know we have two questions on the table. I did receive a formal resignation. And we were asked for no questions based on that resignation. We are determined to continue with the byline process. The only reason we're taking questions right now is because I know there's like I don't know if this is a challenge, but just making sure we're taking that into consideration. Okay, I want to clarify that we were not taking questions. So is this a question?
Oh.
President, and nowhere there does it mention
dropping down, like in other parts where it talks about in general SA elections, what happens. It's very clear there that, for example, we saw with Crinal when Valentina resigned, but when it comes to specifically internal officers, sorry, unlike other things that are explicitly mentioned, it doesn't say that it drops down.
Okay, so what I'm going to say right now is that Representative Valencia is our interim VP of Finance. I want to clarify that both the outgoing and in do you have a comment? Outgoing and incoming VP of Finance were okay with this decision. This was the runner-up in the last election, which is usually the process that we use for student assembly elections. That is how we have done it for other internal elections in the past. That is where I'm leaving it right now. This can be a further conversation later. I would highly entertain a motion to adjourn. Representative Overton.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Oh, we have another resolution.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, resolution number 31.
Yeah, motion to vote, resolution 31.
Okay, perfect. Is resolution 31 in the box? You can bring out laptops to look at resolution 31 if you guys would like. And just as a reminder about resolution 31, this was presented 2 weeks ago, tabled because it was a bylaw change. Delilah, can you put resolution 31 in the box?
I thought it was already in the box.
Okay, it is on the resolution on October 7th. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I guess the question I'd ask is, big part of this is adding the international affairs director. So is that staff now? Just kind of curious. Hopefully you found someone.
Did you ask who it is? Or sorry.
If you want to share, I was just curious.
Oh,
if you
yeah, I'm not, so. Inviting him. I'm not exactly sure if I'm this with you. He might have left just because I thought that I could announce that I have already both two directors staff those positions, but I guess we had to vote on it before announcing it.
Yeah. Representative Katie.
I would like to thank you, Delilah, for coming, and thank you to everyone in the office of, the Office of Student Advocate for working on this. In the interest of time, I would like to motion to vote on this resolution, given we did see this 2 weeks ago now, and we were supposed to be on it already a week ago, so I motion to vote.
Perfect. Second, do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 20-0-1, that resolution passes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And then, Delilah, would you like to still give a presentation to present your new members? No? Okay, perfect. Okay, motion to adjourn, Representative Katie.
I motion to adjourn.
Second. Perfect. Goodbye, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.